This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Dr. Andrew Fialka with us today, Associate Professor of History and author of a new book, Hope Never to See It, a graphic history of guerrilla violence during the American Civil War. The new book is a powerful graphic history book that explores two deadly episodes of violence in Missouri during the Civil War. A Union spy's killing spree against civilians and a Confederate guerrilla's brutal massacre of U.S. troops. Both men, driven by personal revenge and military orders, reflect the war's moral complexity and the terror inflicted on both sides. Dr. Andrew Fialka with us today, Associate Professor of History and author. Tell us a little bit about this new book. Why is it so different from other books in history?
It is a graphic history. The reason why that's different is because people have probably heard of a graphic novel, but those are fiction. They're novels. This is not. This is fully footnoted. Every single panel of artwork is based on primary sources that I found in the archive, and it's got, you know, a quarter of the book is in notes, and it's been through peer review at an academic press.
Now, one of the items you cover, a Union spy's killing spree, basically, against civilians. Tell us a little bit more about that one.
Yeah, so the spy's alias was Harry Truman, which is a total irony, given that the only Missouri president's name is Harry Truman. But he was kind of sent into the field to out-guerrilla the guerrillas. So there weren't a lot of major battles in Missouri. There was just a lot of guerrilla violence, what we would call an insurgency today. So the Union used sort of an ad hoc intelligence system of spies and scouts and guides, and he was one of them, but he had a hardcore drinking problem. And that kind of caught up to him, and he started going after guerrilla suppliers, and they reined him in after that a little bit.
And then the brutal massacre of U.S. troops, and that was done, I guess, by the Confederate, right? And one particular leader?
Yes. So pro-Confederate guerrillas had kind of formed these small bands, but Will Anderson, his nickname was Bloody Bill Anderson, he was sort of the most ruthless, and so he had the ability to sort of get all the bands together. And he was able to get about 400 guys together in Centralia, and they committed a massacre after a train robbery, and some Union troops saw the massacre and gave chase to the guerrillas and went right into an ambush. And this is where the bigger massacre in my book is about.
Now, again, both of these are true stories from Civil War era.
Yeah.
That's wild. And also interesting, both of the men, despite their own personal issues and drives, I guess, that they had military orders to do these things for the most part, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a very legal gray area sense. And that's kind of what the book explores, is like we like to draw up laws of war and we like to think that there are rules that people follow. But when you get under pressure and you have alcohol and you're away from your superior officers, all of that sort of kind of goes by the wayside. And so the book explores the ambiguity of war.
Now, these two massacres, where were they and about how many were killed in each of them?
In the Centralia massacre that the guerrillas led, there was about 150 U.S. troops killed in that. And the U.S. spy sort of killing spree, there was a couple dozen killed or injured, but the violence sort of, after he left, there's a power vacuum, and then people rush in to fill that. So the amount of deaths I found afterwards are somewhere in the 30 range, but refugees, I mean, orphans, there's a lot of things that you can't really put a number on.
Man, it's interesting that we had these types of conflicts right here in the U.S.,
Yeah, and a lot of the research I'm doing now is about, like, what are the numbers? But we don't really have a good sense of, we know the battles. There's 120 sort of major battles like Gettysburg and Antietam and Stones River. But there are tens of thousands of incidents of violence in the Civil War. So this is a sensational story, but a lot of the work that I'm doing now is in border states like Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky, and this is what was going on, and this is, I think, is what people need to open their eyes to, is what we're talking about when we talk about the Civil War.
So what made you want to focus on this and do a book on this?
I sort of fell into it backwards when I was an undergraduate at the University of Missouri. I had to write an honors thesis, and I just chose the best professor there, and she happened to be the Civil War professor. Her name was Dr. Leanne Weitz. So I sort of fell into the topic area backwards. But this story was so sensational, my wife kept on me. I kind of was sneaking it in to articles and anecdotes, and my wife kept saying, you haven't done justice to this story, you haven't done justice to this story. And I had never read any graphic novels. I was unfamiliar with the medium, and someone gave me Watchmen, and I read it, and it just sort of clicked, like, this is how this story needs to take shape.
So how do you find the data? How do you find the historic facts about these battles?
The archive. There's a national archive in D.C., but then every county has an archive. Every state has an archive. Nashville's got the Tennessee State Library and Archive. Rutherford County's got their own archive. So the work that we do is a little monotonous. It's a little sit in a room for 8 hours a day and look through dusty volumes. But you just sort of pound away day after day. And it's a lot easier now that things are digitized. I can move a lot faster because of that. But it's just grinding it out.
And then some of the notes that you're reading off of that you know, while you're making notes yourself, are they letters written home to family members? What are they?
This was about, there was a few major source bases here. One was his court-martial trial, the spy's court-martial trial. So he was tried, he was sentenced to be hung, he was actually let off. But it was a 250-page trial, really rich document. There was also the provost marshal records, what we would call the military police today. They sort of look over occupied territory. He had four different provost marshal records under different aliases. And then we had the sort of U.S. Army's official reports. Those are tens of thousands of pages of reports. So I kind of pieced it together through a lot of different sources.
So when you read over, you know, the documents of a trial from a courtroom from that many years ago, is it really different how they would, you know, lay out a case in the courtroom? Does it sound really different as you're reading it?
That's a good question. I'm not a legal historian, so I haven't read a lot of civil cases, and the military justice system is different, rightly so, than civilians. So this was sort of my first foray into that. And it was this very, very legal gray area. One whole chapter is sort of a courtroom drama in the book. I would guess that it's very atypical.
Yeah, it's fascinating that there were that many documents or notes on these two situations.
Yeah, there was massive paper trails, and they're not in the official records.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the provost marshal records. You have to go to newspapers because the U.S. government's take is more focused on those battles, the battlefield drama. It's a much better story.
So some of those who were, I guess, in the courtroom back then, were they families who watched, you know, their father, their son, their daughter, whatever, be killed right in front of them?
Yeah, they were all victims' families. And then cavalry, there was a cavalry company where 12 members or 20 members were sent to work under the spy. So they testified, his superiors testified, and then all of the victims' families testified.
Now, in these killing sprees, were they usually guns that were used, knives? What was used throughout these?
U.S. Army used rifles, but guerrillas were on horseback almost exclusively. And so they used pistols, and they would have up to six pistols on them so that they could fire 36 rounds without reloading and then get the heck out of there. Also Bowie knives, but they had to ambush at very close range because the weapons that they were using.
Man, that was crazy. And then the other interesting aspect about all of this is that you put it into artwork. You put it into picture what exactly happened. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that was sort of a revelation for me. I went across the street to Todd Hall, which is MTSU's art department, and I found the guy who teaches sequential art. His name's Doug Dabbs. And I pitched the project to him, and he said, I'm a little too busy right now, but I used to teach at SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design, and I've got a former student who I think would be perfect for this. So that's kind of how I got into that network of people I didn't know. But when you read all this stuff in text, it's kind of sanitized, and it's easy to read numbers and turn bodies into numbers. And when I visualized it like this, it made me really think about what the heck are we doing here? And so to me, it almost felt like I wasn't writing an academic book anymore, and I was writing a horror story. And that was a bit of a mind trip, and I'm still kind of dealing with how I'm going to move forward in the profession after having this experience.
So this all goes from documents from a courtroom to you interpreting all of that into a story, and then you interpret the story, the same documents, into picture.
Yeah, so I had to write a script for the illustrator, and the script had quotes from primary sources into it, and then I had reference images. And so there was hundreds and hundreds of photographs from the Civil War that I had to send him. I sent him a couple of photograph books, these monster tomes of Alexander Gardner and Matthew Brady's famous photography of Civil War battlefields. So he had to do a lot of homework to make sure everything was historically accurate. And I had to get really, really good at writing scripts. And we had to learn how to trust each other in that creative process.
You know, I'm surprised these things have not become a movie at this point.
We're trying. Yeah, I just watched a show on Netflix called American Primeval. And it was about like Utah territory in the 1850s. So you've got Mormons and the U.S. Army and settlers and several different Native American tribes. So I shipped a book off to that producer, the press has their own contacts with the Atlanta movie industry. So I have a vision in my head of what that could look like, and I hope that does happen.
It would be interesting, because you're talking about what period of time would be, I guess if you were to focus for a movie, what period of time would be the focus from when to when?
I mean, I see this as a bunch of different episodes, and the tie is the Civil War era, and then the sort of violence of that era. But the way I teach it up at the university is sort of talk about antebellum America and the 1850s and all the violence that was happening, particularly in places like Missouri and Kansas. And then, of course, the wartime violence. And then the other one that people forget about is Reconstruction and the fact that the U.S. Army, you win a war, but you still have to enforce your laws. And they can only do that while the Army is in the South. And it's pretty hectic for a decade. People know about the Klan. They know less about all the black militias that were fighting the Klan, and just how violent it was.
I know we only have about a minute and a half left, but when you talk to groups about this book, do people realize how gruesome it was back then during these Civil War times, or certain battles were exclusively gruesome compared to others?
There's a split between academia and the public. I think in the public's mind, the Civil War has been romanticized and glorified. And so when people think of Vietnam or Iraq and Afghanistan, they do think of brutality and savagery and things being gruesome. But the Civil War has been a little whitewashed. And one of the points of this book was to say, no, it wasn't whitewashed. It was very gruesome. So I think people, when they see this and I say that, they go, oh yeah, that's obvious. Why wouldn't it be that way?
Again, the brand new book, it is Hope Never to See It, A Graphic History of Guerrilla Violence During the American Civil War. And we're already out of time, but can you find this book on Amazon? Can you find it locally? Where can you find it?
Anywhere books are sold. Amazon is just fine.
Sounds good. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.